Sure. Yeah, so we played Age of Sigmar, and I was playing ogres, who, if you don't know what ogres. The ogres are, they are big, cannibalistic, just like... meat guys.
Well, like onions.
Just sacks
yeah.
of meat.
Yeah. So, like onions. Yeah, so they, I had a bunch of dudes. They have guns that just fire like swords and axes. And when you
sorry,
use them.
Sorry, wait. Pause. Rewind. Hey, you have up. Guns that shoot other weaponry yeah, as so ammo.
These dudes are huge. They're using like
those
old school.
Obsolete.
Yeah, they're using like old school cannons essentially, and they just load junk in. You know, Roadhog from
fucking,
Overwatch.
That's right.
Oh my
in,
god.
And you roll to see how many shots launch from their guns.
What?
And at
what?
One point, the highest I went was like 20. And then you roll to see
what?
How many of those hit, and then you roll for damage. And like the only thing that was stopping me from decimating this army was that the Great Unclean One had so much just like mass to him
those
that they were just
like
bouncing
demons.
Off.
What do you
right?
do when a dude shoots 20 fucking swords as like right at you as project? George Bush would have a field day with this shit. If he learned about
all.
This, he'd be like, our military is going to shoot guns out of guns that you know, shoot swords.
It was a literal massacre because I have my spellcaster has like a big cauldron of soup behind him.
Oh
and he's
just cauldron
like,
of soup.
He, wait, essentially in game. No, it, like meat soup. It, essentially so, in game, God. If I roll correctly, he takes out like a hunk of meat and throws it to a guy as long as it's within range. That dude like heals.
Feeds him?
Wait, yeah.
So you're describing
so,
chili.
Like,
this is a
yeah,
chili.
Yeah. It,
this is
it's
chili,
a chili
ogre.
Made of. Bodies.
Genius.
What the fuck? All I'm picturing like, is Kevin from Office,
efficient.
From
yeah.
The Office, just hurling
yes,
just chili.
Hucking bacon or
and
like
a dude with
hunks.
A sword gun.
A sword gun.
That's
a
awesome.
Gun that
That's
fires
so
other
sick.
Guns that fires swords. This is a genius idea.
Yeah, so.
From Raytheon.
So, and then I had one dude who was like the big ass beater and
so
whatever.
Your team was the Olympians then. They're like shot putters or something. they're throwing
but with meat
throwing
soup
yeah.
and body
they're
parts
cannibals.
And shit.
Yeah. So, all of that really just culminated in welcome to the Cutting Mat podcast.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah,
fuck
that'll
it.
Culminate.
I want to proudly fucking announce before Tino signs us in that we are recording live in person.
I can smell the truck nuts on Joel's breath.
Yeah.
We are so close together.
Reeking of truck nut.
They're fresh.
Yeah, they're always fresh.
It's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's not.
But you can say, okay,
what
you
I'm
got
saying,
gum, you
yeah,
brush your teeth,
nuts.
Truck nuts.
Yeah, brush your teeth.
You can
yeah,
smell it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But like Tino's to my right. You guys are to my left. We're yeah. an arm's distance of each other.
Bailey's been sniffing the Micromark catalog over here
yeah.
all night.
That one, it's yours now. Yeah. It's
they
your catalog. I already looked
sure,
through
yeah.
it, so that's yours now. It's like
you
a
know,
Playboy.
It smells a little bit like Tamiya.
A little bit. A little bit.
Hang on, are you allowed to
that
say that?
Might have been
it's
the
trademark,
yeah.
though,
is
right?
Yeah, so well, I would assume yeah. the smell is bottled.
It might have been the Tamiya like cologne page they have
totally
where you can smell the page.
Look, it could have been. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So we're here. Yeah. We are here,
we're
people.
We're together.
We're
back. Staring at each other. We're sitting in each other's
so,
laps.
So, a preference, like, I think all of season...
I've been staring at these guys the whole time already.
Half of season one... I mean, since 2020, we were recording remotely.
Yep.
And that, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so different when we're in person.
Work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the way it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm not good at eye contact. I'm going to practice right now.
You just want to stare at each other's
here
eyes?
Here we go.
Cross-eyed, go.
Okay. I should have blinked beforehand.
This is harder than I thought.
I'm getting the side right now.
I also didn't blink.
I can't do it, but the thing is, no one knows what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's just
this
weird
is awful.
Grunts
we
and
did,
moans.
Did we announce the staring contest?
I think we broke it.
10 seconds of
what is happening?
Eye contact.
And this is where people turn off the podcast.
I still haven't yeah. blinked, Joel. They won't turn it off. They want to find out how long I can go without blinking. They have right, to
well,
they have to know.
You got
to
listen
I mean,
to the whole
the audience is engaged.
4 minutes almost. You're 4 minutes, bud.
I'm trying not. I'm okay. Let's see how long I can go without blinking. Fuck! I just blinked.
You blinked. Oh, you're oh. Anyways, Tino, sign us in.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cutting Mat contest.
contest. One more
first
time.
First one's free.
Sorry.
Y'all.
Bring it
yeah,
back.
First one's. You only get one. One more time. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cutting Mat podcast. I'm your sign off boy. Right now, I'm signing in. Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. This is our first time recording in person in a very long time, as we already said. To my left is Joel.
It's your boy, Uncle Ricky, a.k.a. Truck Nuts down the street on the left. And then also True Gunpla and a billion other bajillion fucking things on the internet. But I'm very proud to announce to my left, we have Brandon. He's actually to my left, not the virtual left, not some bullshit series of tubes on the internet.
You know, those tubes can
flesh
be
flesh and meat, like the soup you're talking about.
I am. Yeah. I can confirm. I am, in fact, made of flesh and meat. I'm very fragile. Please do not touch me. Also, this is Brandon. I am. I go by Mechagenre on the internet. I have Mechagenre.com. By the way, all Cutting Mat podcast episodes are available on Mechagenre.com in case you'd like to listen to other episodes. I do Gunpla and Scale Models, and I also do a podcast called The Cutting Mat Podcast with some other people, which is what is happening right now in person. And I'm excited about that advancement. But there's one other person on our podcast that I want to introduce, because this guy is currently, he is literally reading a Micromark catalog while we are recording. And there's video evidence of this fact.
The man can multitask.
He can multitask, but that's the guy to my left. His name is Bailey, and he is a level 5 black belt in tools.
Level 5?
He's a level 5 tool.
He made the ranking system. He's like fucking not Shao Kahn. The Lightning Man.
Shang Tsung.
Raiden?
Raiden. Well, he's the owner of the mortal.
The guy from Tekken.
The mortal booth pack.
The Tekken guy, you know.
I've only seen the movie.
Well, sure, okay.
No, that Benny Mar is from
Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage. No, that's not
Mega Man.
Liu Kang. Yes,
anyways, Brandon, who's to your Liu left? Kang.
No, it's King Kai. No, to my left, it's Bailey. It's this guy Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
Done. All right. So there is one more thing we need to do before this podcast.
We need to find out who Bailey is. Bailey is.
What, you guys want to go back to Bailey?
Let's go back to Bailey.
Let's go back to Bailey.
I thought you were done, man.
They want to find me?
They want to find you.
He's right there.
Well, now he is, but for the past year.
They want to find you. They want to pick your tasty little brain.
Okay, what's your life story?
All right, if you're done looking at what Big V Roman has, you're done looking at what True Gunpla has, Mechagenre, all of us available on Instagram, elsewhere, Kamau_Zeta. Check us out.
Insert air horns right there.
Okay, we got something better for you. Actually, before the Cutting Mat podcast can officially start, we have an intro, and we're going to roll it right now. Yeah, that was a good intro, and honestly, I sort of forgot what it sounded like because it's been so long since we recorded. But
I never remember it.
We are here now. It probably has some like meadlies and some deedlies. Yeah.
Deedly doos?
Those are technical terms.
Give us the topic, Brandon. What are we talking about?
Here's the topic. Last episode, we covered kind of the basics. Like if you want to get into Playmo or scale modeling.
Oh, yes.
We talked about sort of like what you need to do to start?
Kind of.
To start,
it's a good introduction, a primer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a
no
primer. It was a primer into how to prime and other, among other things.
You know,
a primer to primer.
But that was a little bit specific. So it was a specific podcast about how to start like building plastic models. We're gonna kind of go a little bit more broad, and we're gonna go a bit more advanced in this episode, because once you get the basics down, you will find that there's kind of only like one way to do the basics.
Yeah,
you know, if you build a model kit, you build it according to the instructions, or not if you're kit bashing, but that's an advanced concept. You know what I mean? Like
real quick, before you get turned off and like, oh, they're going to talk about scribing. We're not really getting into advanced techniques, but the next evolution of your hobbying adventure, whether it's scale modeling or playing with fucking Legos or some shit.
Like I've mentioned before, we are the most attractive podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
That exists.
Hands down.
We were voted number 2 in a Russian list of top Swedish podcasts with Americans in them. So that's kind of that's a really good.
I mean, we're moving up.
I'm saying that we were ranked number 7 last year, but like a bunch of those podcasts were
we still haven't beat out
because
Conan.
They were political
that's
opponents.
The issue.
So here we are.
Well, he's gone now, so who cares?
Yeah. There you go.
Fuck that nerd.
But hopefully next year we will be number 1.5. Who knows?
Or this is all for nothing.
But anyway, we are the most attractive podcast, but podcasting is not a visual medium. So it is hard for us to demonstrate or even discuss techniques. So that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to discuss techniques. Instead, we're going to talk about the concepts behind advanced techniques. So it's going to be sort of a meta episode, but it's also going to get into the concept of motivation. And the key that we're going to keep on coming back to throughout the episode is that you should drive your own advancement in your hobby. Yeah. Do not let anyone else drive that advancement.
That's right.
So we are going to be talking a little bit also about community influence, influencing in general, how it relates to everything you do with your free time and how you may not be realizing it 100%. As well.
And like, let's start with this base assumption. If you're doing a hobby, you like it. Is that a fair assumption?
I mean, you're not going to tell me what to do because, one, you're not my dad.
I'm not. Your mother and I are very disappointed in you, Joel.
You're not doing your hobby good.
You need a timeout.
You need a timeout from your timeout of your timeout.
Bailey is a dad. He actually, he probably could legally time any of us out at any time.
Legally right standing, go. Yeah. We have to
go,
listen.
Go right now.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
No.
Sorry, guys. All right. God damn it.
Fuck. I'm starting it.
We Bailey, just started Bailey, this fucking podcast in Bailey, person. Bailey put us in timeout already. Bailey put us in timeout.
You got to learn the lesson.
Sorry, guys.
Count to five? What's going to happen?
You're not going to... I'm going to fucking... You know what? You know what? No, we're going to do the podcast, Bailey.
I'm a rebellious teenager. So. I listen to Rage Against the Machine. I don't understand its political implications. I'm going to talk back.
So you know what matters to me?
What?
You've learned. You've got the motivation to do this.
I do have intrinsic
that
motivation to
that was a good
do.
Segue. And we like to call out our segues here in this podcast. We're not ashamed of it. We'll fucking call it out in the open.
In fact, you know, honestly, calling out our segues is one thing that we do better than any other podcast. We're ranked number 5 in Italian podcasts.
Put us against any other podcast that's Italian and Swedish, that's and what I'd say. They're going down.
Honestly, even American podcasts don't call out their segues as well as we do. That's something that you will, if you listen to the Cutting Mat podcast for any amount of time greater than, let's say, give us 65 days of your life.
About.
On average.
Yeah.
And listen to us for 65 days worth of podcast time. You will love us by then. That is my...
That's a branding guaranteed.
I guarantee you that if you do nothing but listen to our podcast, you eat only the very minimum amount of gruel, you get the minimum amount of sleep, we will basically wear down...
We just segue away
one
from
the
world.
Topic.
What I'm saying is we
segue away from our
segues. If we wear down your mind and make you tired enough that you're suggestible, you will join our cult. I mean, podcast.
You podcast. God damn it, Brandon. Hey, now
forget,
we have to roll
the
intro.
Don't forget the bonus. You'll see the color grayish.
The Grage.
The Grage.
I live on Grage.
They'll be able to see it.
See, for me, Grage means something different. As a painter that uses Tamiya, I have gray rage.
Gray rage. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm enraged by the number
let's
of
grays. Let's segue back into whatever the fuck we were talking
about. What were we talking about? So let's talk about motivation. Bailey was using... He grounded all of us as a sort of a... I don't know. What would you call it? A metaphor for motivation?
An example, no. I guess.
I don't know, man. I'm not as smart
up,
as you. I don't
it's
know.
Straight up positive punishment.
Yeah, I get it.
Which, by the way, is always gotten wrong in every show that ever tries to talk about classical conditioning.
Negative punishment's easy, but positive punishment, that's complicated.
I don't even know where to begin.
I'm drooling right now. Is that classical conditioning?
We're talking about Biohazard, the band? The song Punishment?
You mean Resident Evil.
I'd say we're supposed to be in a village somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're in America, man. It's Resident Evil.
That's true.
Tall vampire ladies everywhere.
So are you saying that like you can treat... How should you treat motivation? Like you should never force motivation.
The purest form is, like Brandon said, it has to come from within.
Yeah.
It was inside you all along.
Some like Naruto shit.
Don't use any
Naruto shit.
Yeah.
Don't be digging yourself, though. I mean, like, you know, like it's not metaphorically within. Not go to your kitchen and get a knife.
It's not a Saw situation. I'm saying that, like, what you need to do is search inside yourself. It is not among the organs. Do not search inside yourself.
No. It's just, like, in your brain.
Honestly, it's in your mind, really. Not even your brain. Don't. Mm-hmm. The brain is like a physical. Like, I'm talking about you go to your mind. Like,
so it should come from a positive. It should come from a positive place so that way it yields positive results.
I mean, that's going to give you the feeling. You know, it's going to be you are interested. We've talked about this before. You have an interest in learning to do something.
Yeah.
You are going to, you know, seek out. And I think this is where the trouble starts is you seek out like influence, you know, you seek out like motivation, perhaps, but you seek out inspiration. Exactly.
Yeah. That's it.
That's right
it.
There. And then you run the risk of getting like sidetracked in terms of what you wanted to do versus what, you know,
someone
we've
else.
Seen. Yeah. Like that's what exactly other it. People have in mind.
Yep. I struggle with that all the time. Actually,
I'm probably going to struggle with a lot of the stuff we talk about.
I'll just say illustration. I mean, your reference is literally just other people's works.
Yep, yeah, that's it. Going too far down a rabbit hole on Pinterest, and then, well, anyway, let's continue.
No, but I mean, that's highly relevant. That's what I'm going to say. Like, where's the line in being an artist? Because we can see it in model making, but where's the line in illustration and, you know, comics, where you have this accepted space of influence, of inspiration, but you're not straight up, you know, copying somebody's...
Like, yeah,
you know,
tracing someone's shit or something. Yeah,
there's different types of influence. Inspiration is one of them. Yeah. You know, if you can be influenced by someone who causes you to plagiarize their work. You can be influenced by someone who makes you do something you don't want to do. Like, maybe you try a technique you don't want to try because a community or an individual person influences you to do that thing, which is contrary to your own internal motivation. This is like where we're going is kind of like hobbies are supposed to be fun. Yeah. Have you guys heard that?
I've never heard anything about enjoying a hobby or it being fun. So this is the first time I've ever heard any of this.
You know, Uncle Ricky, I was right where you were.
Yeah, are you getting paid for your hobby?
I am getting paid so much in something called mind dollars. It is, I can exchange it for, to lessen my anxiety.
What's the exchange rate?
It's 1-to-1 US dollars. I get paid a shit ton of US dollars for my hobby.
What's the Bitcoin exchange rate?
Bitcoin exchange rate is, well,
0.00.
Honestly, it changes,
0, 0, 0.
Changes every day.
Well, it was that 2 seconds ago. Now it's two seconds ago, 7.4.
Right. It's gone again.
Now it's gone.
16 graphics cards just to enjoy your hobby. Good luck. I hope you planned ahead because there will be a test and also you'll have to mine the codes. So if you're being influenced by a community or by another person, you can be influenced and inspired, or you can be influenced in a negative way. What I want to hear more about this Pinterest situation, Tino.
Yeah, because I don't really use Pinterest.
That's like real relevant, and also all of my situations are like,
hey, somebody was like, you need to do this to be a better modeler. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And they're like, but you have to do it. And then I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And then I hated it.
Well, I was going to say, with scale modeling, it's very, like, forced, kind of.
Yeah, there's a weird hierarchy that doesn't really exist in scale modeling techniques.
And it's old, too. It's old. Yeah. It's years and years of, this is how I did it. You know,
this is the way I did it back in the day.
It's like, think of the oldest guy in your IPMS chapter. It's older than that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy's like, it's older than dirt. Like, that guy was invented before dirt was invented. He lived on an earth that was just stone. It was a polished stone marble.
This is the round
somebody
table
comes
of models,
by,
like.
Somebody comes by, and they're like, hey, dirt, it's a new idea. And he's like, well, that's really cool, but I'm already 45 years old. Like, that was the situation that we ran into.
King Arthur was the IPMS judge for tanks or some shit. Like,
building what? I don't know what the fuck a tank is, but that looks cool. Sherman's out of wood and stone before Shermans were actually using wars.
Like, Leonardo da Vinci hasn't been born, but they're like, yeah, I feel like we could probably lash these two cheetahs together or whatever. Like, sure, it looks like a tank.
But, you know, to go back to Pinterest, because, like, I feel... what's the deal with Pinterest?
There's a
what
good
the fuck is Pinterest,
too.
Tino? Yeah, explain it, because I still don't fucking get it.
I wouldn't say I'm in a unique position, but I'm definitely one of those people that didn't have any traditional training, and a lot of my drawing comes from my own drive to draw.
Comes from
like all
heart.
My technique, most of my techniques.
That's, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, that's the purest form right there.
Most of my stuff, I taught myself how to do. So when I go on a Pinterest to find any kind of reference material or inspiration, it's an interesting time, to say the least, because first you have to have an idea of how to use keywords.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you have to have a CPU that can handle about 50 bajillion tabs open.
So you're talking about finding inspiration.
Not just... because when you're... Isn't that what you're doing when you're looking for references?
It is. You're correct. Yep.
Finding like that spark of inspiration that will help you drive forward in whatever project you're doing.
Yeah.
So
right.
like for
Pinterest
me,
is the literal rabbit hole, though.
Yeah. Because you click on one image and then...
What's his name? Huh? Like, he learned about how to fucking write Alice in Wonderland from fucking Pinterest. Yeah, oh, it is the literal rabbit hole you can get into.
So like you click on one image and it comes up and you can back to the appropriate place, but then like below that image is a bunch of other images that probably correspond to that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for hands.
Yeah, colors and things like that.
I'm looking for hands. Yeah. Dude, I get hands. Okay. I get hands galore.
That's horrifying.
All of a sudden it goes off into it will sometimes go off into models. It'll also sometimes go off into
hand jobs.
Yeah, like, well, I don't know. You get pretty close to that for
hand,
sure.
Hand, Gundam model. Yeah. HJ.
I sit down at the end of the night to do just some relaxing drawing and, like, hey, I'll go on to Pinterest and limit myself to like 5 minutes. And then, like,
nope.
two hours go by. I'm supposed to be in bed. I have nothing drawn and I've got 50 tabs open for a bunch of different things. And I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. Maybe I can use that.
But that's
not
overload.
That's not bad, though. That's not bad. Compared to, but you also have no one telling you that what you're doing is wrong.
Sure, okay, we got that.
Maybe the problem isn't necessarily that. Let me see if I can. Like, I'm making an assumption here, so you tell me if my assumption isn't correct. If no one is telling you that something is wrong, but your real problem is that you're not telling yourself that any of these things are a thing that you want to do.
Sure. There's that.
Sure, okay, whatever.
Well, no, there's all, no, you're right. But there's also like a weird expectation for yourself that you should be able to do these things that you're looking at.
That.
And being a person that has only had like one actual drawing class and taught myself everything else, I'm seeing all these things done by people that are amazing. Not to say I'm not amazing myself. I am amazing. But
it's confirmed.
Like, holy shit.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. I know I'm on a level.
But see, that's the part of your brain that will lie to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get demotivated by your own mind.
Exactly that. And like, I know from my time with you guys, as well as just my own like experiences in life, that like I shouldn't hold myself up to the standards of other people.
That's right.
But it's really difficult to fight that. It's hard. That's in school, and the
funny thing about it is I see it. All the time, I see it. My son's in school. I see it. It's like the research is out there. It's there that you should enforce mastery goals for yourself. You should have a sense of where you started and a progression based on that previous self that
milestones.
You are enhancing. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Any milestone
based on that prior self, but oftentimes. What gets reinforced instead is you have performance goals, which is comparing yourself to your peers, you know, equal or you know, better pairs, let's say less than pairs in some cases, better pairs in other cases. And that tends to surface every time.
Yeah.
We do that. We do that when we go on Instagram. We do that, you know, anytime we look at something, like, especially Pinterest, it's like you see these things that you want to do. And then you're now connecting that to the person that did it, and that can be like a motivation suck where it's like it's like, can I compare to that? You know, versus
could I ever do this?
Yeah. So what's being done all the time? They're doing it with athletes is like watching videos of your own performance.
Oh, yeah.
That is one way to like really focus in, and you can do that. You look back at your previous work, your previous builds, your previous illustrations, and you see where you've come from, and you like take active note of how you've progressed. You take note of those changes that you've made, those developments that, you know, your progression of skills.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before, self-awareness.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before that I'm like actively thinking of like my Instagram and all my other social medias as like a repository
of my
stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely
it's not,
talk about this.
Like your art folder.
Yeah,
that's
I love
museum.
That,
it's a museum Daytino.
And I love that everybody enjoys my stuff, all the people that do, but all my stuff is there specifically for me.
Uh-huh.
And you guys just get to enjoy it.
Well, it's like we get to visit your brain for a second.
Yeah.
Because you already have an idea where you are because you are a very self-aware artist. But the problem is not every hobbyist thinks of their hobby that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's like we can go one step further with that and say that not every hobbyist needs to think of their hobby that way.
Yeah.
Because again, it's supposed to be fun.
If you're going to advance and you gain pleasure from advancing in a hobby or a skill, then the mastery goals are the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're kind of taught from an early age in like school.
Yeah.
You know, the way that unfortunately school works, everyone's supposed to be the same. You know, there's some expectation that everyone progresses the same way, and that is not the way.
Good grades or doesn't the test good?
Yeah, like first you do this, then you do this, then you do this. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as a linear progression in art. It just doesn't make any sense.
It goes in every fucking direction. Right. One person's good at one thing, the other person's better at something else.
You know, and we could even, to give specific examples, like within the Gundam model, the Gunpla community, I know, you know, so you start out and everyone starts in the same place because you're building the same model. You are snapping the kit together. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are gluing and filling seam lines. Maybe you are painting. Things start to kind of funnel out whenever you get into the painting stage because there are multiple painting techniques. Mm-hmm. Some painting techniques require surface prep. The surface prep might become sculpting. The sculpting might become scratch building. The scratch building might become scribing. The scribing might become, you know, building totally new parts of the kit. You could even step back and say, well, what if my building technique becomes kit bashing, combining pieces of multiple kits together?
Yeah.
Think
of the 30-minute missions. Build.
There's a ton of really fantastic parts in that 30-minute missions line, but the real key here is that they're. If you think of it like a linear progression you're supposed to take, that's not going to work.
No,
not at all. Because they're, especially when it's not defined what that linear progression is in the hobby.
Yeah, but if it's not defined and you think it exists, where does it come from?
Ooh, that's multiple places.
I can
that's
tell you.
Influence from fucking other people. That's your
Still
own
external.
Personal influence.
Mm-hmm. It's the way that you perceive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you know it's wrong, it's...
That's the thing.
The influence that you take in that makes you think that, hey...
so-and-so did it. It should be done this way. They've done this.
But...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe to take it a step into, like, the resolution real quick, that's also how you improve.
Yep.
Because, I've started to join seminars, like online seminars through Clip Studio Paint, just to like learn a different way to draw or see a different version of how somebody else does something. Mm-hmm. And I try and use those techniques when I am going about my business. So like we can get back to it. It's just like you if you can figure out how to turn that external stimuli that may or may not be good for you into something good for you regardless.
Yeah, you internalize it. You put it, you are essentially, you know, you're interpreting it. Everything that you learn is going through your perspective based on your experiences. Even if you are going to those seminars and you're seeing new techniques, you have an approach to it that's based on your previous experience based on the skill set that you've developed.
It goes through your filter.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're already, you know, kind of, you know, molding that, you know, and I think one of the problems that can happen is that if, you know, you have people that have a particular, technique almost like they want to trademark it.
Like the special sauce or whatever.
And it's like, if you even try to, if you do another step or you try to change it in a way, then, you know, they get all up in arms about that. It's their thing.
Oh, very protective over something that they don't. It's like driving a car.
It's not really something that you can trademark or you can make, you know.
I saw this the other day and I just thought about it. It's along the same lines. We grew up in a time where the internet was just becoming a thing and people were still like gatekeeping their techniques, like artists weren't really sharing what they did and how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like your local hobby stuff, your hobby people might maybe, but like now we live in a time where
the internet,
Bailey, Brandon, Joel, all of you are 100% all the time willing to give information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean it's the fucking internet, like it's. nothing, anything you do art-wise, illustration-wise, scale modeling-wise, someone's already fucking done it before.
That's the way I've always seen
that's
things.
The way you like, should be looking at this shit, because it's like, I mean, example, real-life example. I did the soldering iron tutorial video. Was an idea for I was told by a military scale model. Well, I didn't fucking invent that. But there's people that what they see it and they associate it with my video and they think that I invented that technique. Fuck no.
I mean,
I just applied it to a medium that I was fascinated with and shared that information with in a sense my colleagues.
We see this, you know, to get a patent. Like look at like what society considers to be something novel. That's like they give you a patent and you own the thing.
Yeah.
You gotta have an actual new application for something, but it also needs to be non-obvious.
Yeah.
Something being non-obvious is actually a pretty important part of a patent. And honestly, I think that like techniques like this
it's that gray area of, you know, what is likely to be general knowledge.
Yeah, any expert in the field would consider it to be general knowledge. It's you can't own this thing, but beyond that, beyond the issue of individual artists claiming that they own a thing, weird things happen in online communities mostly, but even in-person communities, when communities think that artists own things.
They get defensive.
Yes, there's
they get
some
real defensive over nothing.
It's a weird one.
Yeah,
that's a weird one.
Because that goes back into a little bit of the tribe knowledge we talked about a couple episodes to where it's, you know, oh, that's a military scale modeling, and then airplane model is like, fuck no, dude, we were doing that shit in the 70s.
Exactly.
You know what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it gets to where people think doing a certain technique away, oh, that's so and so's technique. And then the people that are inspired and influenced to try and learn it that way, they go, yeah, that's so-and-so's technique. Yeah, he invented that way.
Yeah. Hey.
And then, you know, Warhammer dudes are like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Right. That's like, we all do that.
Yeah,
we've
been dipping our models in floor polish
and
deck stain for decades. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And you get that kind of weird... you get that weird tribal nod to where every tribe thinks they're the shit at it, but in reality... If the mindset was, hey, let's take the things that we learned and share them with each other and just improve it, because there's no room for improvement when you're so locked in that the way that so-and-so told you or the way that you do it is the end-all be-all. There's no end-all be-all in this shit.
Yep.
There's nothing, because we see people doing wild-ass shit every day with scale modeling and plastics and hobbies and all that kind of weird shit that it's just... Oh, I learned it from so-and-so. I learned it from this community. I learned it from this other creator that does X, Y, Z. And it's until people recognize that, it's going to be a long, fuckety, bumpy road of people trying to trademark techniques for no reason.
But it's also going to cause a bunch of stress for like new people getting into the hobby and wanting to get better.
Yeah, because who do they look to?
That's the thing, yeah. Like, do you ask your community what does good look like? Because your community might not know that.
It's subjective. The other thing, too, is guess what? Yeah. We're doing art. End of the fucking day?
Yeah.
It's all art, and it's all subjective.
Yeah, that's the key. Yep, that's the key here. You know, you're going to probably be pressured by people at some point in your career, you know, to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah. It happens all the fucking time.
I don't want to do technique X. That seems dumb.
Here's a good case in point. I was talking to somebody about panel lining recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're talking about using, I think it was a Sharpie marker, you know, the Gundam markers, whatever the case is, and liking the way it looks, you know. And in my head, I have, you know, the thought that, okay, well, we could perhaps introduce this person at some point to, you know, to using an enamel wash or even acrylic wash, whatever, at some point.
It's a different way of doing the same technique.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like you don't. I'm not the person to impose this on. Yep. You know, it's like
they like the way it looks.
Exactly. They were absolutely content with the finished product of what they had, and that's fine. You know,
that's the difference between. I would say someone that is subjectively a good person, but a good scale modeler to where they can notice that the person in front of them, they're not asking how do I make this look better? Right. They're just like, this is what I do, and it looks tight. Yeah.
I'm like a vampire, you know. If you invite me in, then yeah, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna get the blood suck of all the techniques, look, all of them,
just
like,
rushing into your vein.
Like, I'm gonna reference another one, like Highlander, just all in your head or whatever. But if not, then no, you're fine with what you're fine. I'll stay outside.
Yeah,
you know. It's like you're good with, you know, with the Gundam markers. That's perfectly fine.
So. Don't invite him in. Don't invite Bailey. He can't come into your studio unless you invite him in. But once you invite him in, he will tell you upgrades for all of your tools and also techniques that you should be using.
It's probably the best decision you've ever made is to let Bailey in. Scamolly vampire, but
yep.
You know.
Run with that shit.
So
yes, you should. It's
I come here to improve your tools.
I am here. You know, if you change the type of wash from acrylic to enamel, you'll have a lot more flow. Like, oh, that's great. You're talking about flow. Also, why am I bleeding? I'm losing a lot of blood.
See, the flow of your blood is like enamel.
Did you add flow improver to my blood? Did you just inject flow improver into my veins? Is that what just happened?
That's for the streaking.
Why is it clotting? It's just not clotting. Why?
What's happening here?
It's for...
So, real quick, we're going to hit a segment in the podcast. We're talking about the supply drop, where it's some of our favorite companies that we work with and sponsor our podcast here. And we use that word sponsor more as like a relationship versus just a sponsorship, because we are very strict with who we work with and make sure we believe in said company. So, real quick, we're going to get into the supply drop.
Welcome to the Supply Drop. We have opinions, and we sort of share our opinions using this capitalistic method that we call advertising. You're about to be hit by an advertisement, and the advertisement goes something like this. It's called Scale Modeler Supply, SMS. It is a company from Australia that makes lacquer paint. Imagine the greatest lacquer paint you've ever used. I started using lacquer paint myself, honestly.
Same.
And I've tried a couple of brands.
Welcome to the dark side.
I like right? it. I like the power of lacquer paint. It's having so to wear a respirator inside my house.
Wear that respirator.
A terrible smell. It's terrible. This with great smell comes great respirator. Honestly, but the real issue is when I thin these paints, that's whenever most of the smell comes out. I want pre-thin paints, but what company makes pre-thin paints that are high quality? This is the issue that I keep running into.
Fucking SMS, buddy.
That's the company. That's the one that
we're
just going to
talk
about.
Dude,
SMS paints, these are extremely high quality model grade paints. They come out with new colors all the time. Let me just say specifically, I'm going to call out SMS paints blues. I love their blues.
They're great.
They have some of the best blues in the industry. They have some of the best, honestly, any color in the industry, but their blues in particular. You can hit any shade of blue you want without having to mix them, and I really appreciate
that. Smooth boy. Yep. I love using them for a lot of toy painting, Sufibi stuff, because they have crazy, like, pearlescent color shifts, and it's not like a lot of people make their own color shift paints. Every company has one, but like these are especially made for that beautiful, just fucking great finish.
I mean, you can really tell they're engineered specifically for this purpose.
Well, they're made by someone that does scale modeling.
That's exactly it.
Right off the bat, you can view the owner's work and then also view the paints. So like, okay, I see the correlation.
And
there.
That's scale modeler supply. But here's the issue, though. If you live in the U.S., scale modeler supply products are going to be hard to get from Australia, especially with the supply chain issues that we're currently seeing.
Not anymore.
Oh, really? Where could I get scale modeler supply paints in the U.S., Joe?
There's a little store called USA Gundam Store.
Hang on. Hold up. Hold the phone. Hold it.
Line two.
Hold on. Back up.
Our second
back
sponsor.
On.
They're back calling.
On. Hello, line two? Yeah. Who is this? Is it USA Gundam Store? Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
USA Gundam Store is probably one of our favorite online hobby stores. Adam and his team are amazing. You can find pretty much anything you want, including SMS paints, tools, Supplies. Mm-hmm. I think he even has like an airbrush, paintbrushes, a whole 9 yards.
And the best part about USA Gundam Store is, yes, SMS paints are available there. That is one of the best parts about it. One of the other best parts about it is that every time a new Gundam model is announced, you can pre-order it from Adam.
Right away. You gotta wait for that shit.
Seriously, there is no gap between the announcement and the pre-order. So get on that really quick, and you'll get it as soon as it comes out in the U.S.
Absolutely.
My favorite part about it. Yep, that's a fantastic store. And our third sponsor, which is could be you. That's the third sponsor.
Yeah, so for a low price of your soul.
Honestly,
Lunchable.
All your hobby knowledge.
The Lunchable has to be one of the pizza ones.
Anything else, sure. don't even talk to us.
No. The ham and cheese Lunchables are not even, like, why would
don't
I
communicate?
Want, no, dude, the pizza ones, man. They come with those little pizza crusts.
Rethink
and you have to,
your company.
You tear open the bag full of pizza sauce and you put it on the pizza crust, and then it's all cold, of course, because it's been in the fridge. So, ugh, God. Mm. Anyway, you can sign up to be a sponsor at our Patreon at patreon.com/thecuttingmatpodcast. Or you can go through our website, thecuttingmatpodcast.com. If you would like to hear your business's name here, please reach out to us and we'll make sure that we make you sound good. Let's get back to the actual podcast now. Welcome back to the Cutting Mat Podcast. We have just been talking about how should I put this? Yeah,
all
it's
kinds of stuff.
Honestly, it all comes down to motivation. Motivation is one of the major topics that we cover on nearly every episode of the Cutting Mat Podcast, because the key to not being stressed out about your hobby is being motivated to do it. Really,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's pretty simple, honestly. But the real issue is that, like, if you're doing your hobby and you may not even notice this, you are influenced by everything that you see. Mm-hmm. You're influenced by Pinterest. You see you are inspired by things which influence your idea of what a good product looks like.
Yeah.
You're influenced by other people in the community. You're influenced by people in different communities from yours. Even if you're not in a community, you might just scroll through what they've got on, like, Facebook or Instagram or whatever and say, hey, this is interesting. I've never thought of this. Maybe I should be doing this.
Whether you realize it or not, you're influenced by every single word that you come across, no matter what you're looking
at. That's right. That's right. I was going to say, like Brandon, you said you pick and choose, you know, what you're conscious of, you can pick and choose. And it's like, I like that. But even when you're not, like, you something comes across your eyes or your ears, you're influenced by it.
Dude, I saw something. I was on 440. It's a highway. It's a terrible highway. Don't drive on it.
Yeah.
There is a Mercedes on that 440. It was a flat gray Mercedes.
Ooh.
Primer.
And I'm thinking, but that's just the thing. It was like, holy crap, that looks fantastic.
It was like a wrap or something. Actually, like, no, Mercedes has that frozen color.
Maybe. Yeah, look at
that could have been it.
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, that I remember that was a while ago.
It's a frozen, they call it frozen gray something.
Like, it reminded me of, like, a combination of, I'm thinking, oh, wow, yeah, somebody flat coated their car. Like, that was just top coat. They just top coated their car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that that is something it's totally factory. It 100% is. It is actually Mercedes makes these cars. You can get them from the factory flat. And it's because flat looks good, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. Flat looks very good. Most cars are gloss.
Yeah.
So why is there a difference?
Too.
And some cars are metallic. Some cars are pearlescent. Like, why is there a difference? There is no correct finish for a car.
Mm-mm.
They both look good.
I think it's how you keep it clean.
Also true.
They must have a new finish that's a little bit finer.
Make it hydrophobic or something like that.
You said it though. It's because the majority of the cars are gloss.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what you're so used to seeing. Mm-hmm. So when you see something different, it stands out.
Yeah,
that's with, like, fucking toy photography. The moment someone does something different.
Ah.
That's the thing people want to inspire and try and do, because you're seeing the same thing over and over and over and again. So you think that's the norm because you've set that standard for yourself.
But you think it's the norm, even if you hate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's,
and you tell yourself that, too,
terrible.
Over and over again. Yeah,
you can't get into that trap.
No.
Oh.
Once you start hating what you see everyone doing, you're just going to be miserable with it.
That's accurate. Yeah, that's accurate. But you can still love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
This that, is that you can't compare your work to other people's work. Like, it's you can compare it to get better if you have your own goals.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hate something that you see online, you don't have to, like, don't think that you have to copy it to be good at your hobby. You know?
Examples.
I think you just got to the crux of it there.
Scribing, right?
Mm-hmm. Dude, scribing is key to all of this, and that's why we promised at the beginning of the episode we weren't going to cover scribing. So here we are. Covering scribing, because you know what, listeners? Fuck you. We're going to lie to you as much as we want, because... Oh, wait, where are you? Wait.
Hold on.
Goodbye. The listeners got a hold of him.
The listeners just dragged Brandon through his ankles just out the door.
Wait, guys. They're being really gentle, actually.
This is nice.
You can bring him back later.
This is kind of nice.
But, I mean, no. I mean, I use scribing as an example because that is kind of... And we'll use Gunpla, because in other facets and other hobbies, that's like a day one thing you learn. We've talked about this premonition paint. We talked about this before, but it's that there are people that don't like the look of it, but also don't like the fact that everyone thinks that is the end goal and all be all skill to learn. So you get this double negative of where they just really fucking hate this one technique or this color or whatever the case is. You have to put your own safe search on your brain when you are doing this, because you'll just get a bunch of spam and bullshit in your head that really leads you to nowhere.
Use those Boolean search things.
Oh, yeah.
Minus T-I-D-D-I-S.
Wait, you do minus T-I-D-D-I-S?
I'm trying to add that, boy. Yeah,
plus. Exclude.
Yeah, plus. Exclude.
He said safe search.
The thing about scribing in particular is that it's just, you got to do it right. But when I say right, I mean, like, what is it? It's just this weird, it's just scratching lines into plastic. Scribing by itself is nothing.
There's
it's
no right way to do it, because I see people doing on wood where it's just freehand flow moving shapes. I'm like, I guess that's right.
Oh, dude. Wood burning. Scrimshaw. Awesome,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been around for...
Like on metal? Oof.
Like, well, yeah, skill modelers didn't invent scribing, by the way.
No, not at all.
They've been
not
engraving, like, weapons for years.
No way.
You know, look at friggin' marble carving, for example. Like, this is not a new thing, but the key is it's got to work. You know, you've got to make this work in your piece. Like, scribing is cool. I use scribing as another method of color modulation. Because I can paint those new panels that I make a different color.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a means to an end. It's not the end. But for someone else, it might be the end. And it culminates down to the fact that it doesn't matter. None of this really matters. It's a hobby.
With scribing, Brandon's saying, with scribing, what works is that everybody has a different view of those things, you know, of those lines. Yeah. Like, everybody has, like, you know, the thing that's out there, that is...
It's all hierarchy views, though. It's not so much...
It is.
Right. But the hierarchy isn't real.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The part that I like is, and Brandon, you know this well, is, like, what you do to get those lines down. That is, like, the skill.
Yes.
You did that, Gelgoog. You did the Dom. I know those legs were hard to scribe.
Well, here's the key. They weren't.
Do tell.
They now, really hold weren't. The fucking phone real quick.
They honestly were not. The technique that I found to do them, I used CA glue to attach.
You glued the stuff. Yes. I said that. Yeah, but...
Yeah, but that's the key.
That's the skill.
But it's easy. It's easy once you know the trick.
That's still the skill. Beyond that, having like a certain way, like Joel, like having a certain way that's supposed to be done and the lines we're supposed to be and, you know, realistic, you know, oh, this is a hatch that opens.
It's like exactly.
Okay. Well, fine. Maybe, but that's just one opinion.
Yeah. If you like that, do it.
With you, Bran, is that you just divulged your secret sauce to the internet.
Well, who cares? It's not my sauce.
No.
I stole that from someone else.
Exactly.
We'll erase it.
And
we'll,
the thing is, you're not.
Cat sounds over it.
You're not putting your application on a pedestal compared to everyone else doing it.
None of it matters.
It's just
the
technique.
And if I can get more people to use this, all the better. But the real key here is, like you said how you're supposed to do it. And there's no how you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody else will find that way of doing it very difficult, and they'll find some other way to do it. Like, there's no right answer in a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, the only times there's right answers are in math, and that's honestly even only on special cases. You know,
I just don't understand it. So it's always wrong for
yep,
me.
That,
I
mean, Warhammer. Honestly, it's all of Warhammer.
That's why I don't play Warhammer. Too much fucking math.
You move 2 inches to the left, dude, and you get shot by a sword straight through the abdomen.
I'll paint the fuck out of that sword.
An axe is just hurtling through the air and just slices your head right off because you should have gone half an inch to the right.
It's a lethal projectile, for sure.
It is a lethal projectile, yeah.
Fucking nerd!
Brandon taught me kind of how to scribe the other weekend, and I totally ham-fisted it. Like,
it was fun.
He did it, though. It's like, you did that really fast. And
which
I was
means
like,
that you that you
impressed.
Did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means you've learned.
He did it.
I still need to clean it up a bit, but like, I love the way it looks, man.
When you approached it, were you trying to do it badly? Or you just trying to do it? Yeah.
No, I sat down and I was like, I've never actually done this before.
Yeah,
I kind of just want to carve these like belly scales into this little dinosaur thing. Mm-hmm. And it came out great.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
Out of that. What's the worst thing?
You're cutting your thumb?
I get an idea for a new skill.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No.
No.
Inspiration.
I mean,
it
might take me a while to like go back around, but like I know how to do it now.
Yeah, that's right.
But you also know if Bailey or someone else gives you advice, that's perfectly valid advice. You're like, no,
absolutely.
Brandon told me how to do it this way, and that's the only way to do it.
You have to do it this way, otherwise it doesn't count towards my progression towards mastery in this skill. When I level up in this skill, I need exactly this number of experience points. Otherwise, I can't use the next skill, which is called gluing on metal templates. So I have to do it this way with the scribing tape before I can use the metal templates, because I can't skip a step. You have to go in a progression. You have to use a progression. It has to be the right way. Otherwise, right.
Someone
it's
drag
wrong.
Him away again.
Yeah. You're doing it wrong because you're doing it wrong. You're not even doing the right hobby. That's what I'm saying, is people won't recognize you as an expert. If they don't recognize you as an expert, why are you even doing this?
The best thing is that you know what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, because you tried it.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You're not going off of Joe Blow's experience on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You're going off of fucking the Tino show. You said, hey, I wanted to do this thing. Fucking didn't work that way. Or, hey, I tried to do this thing the first way. Fucking, I'm going to keep doing that. And then, oh, you got another technique? Fuck it, I'll try it.
It's 100% that.
I mean, that's dry brushing. When I was learning dry brushing shit, there was 20 million different ways. And I just did the 20 million different ways, and now I have a weird hodgepodge of what works.
Yeah. Well, Joel dry brushes the Joel way.
Yeah.
And
which like, is just be stealing from other people.
That's the right way to do it for Joel. Like, that's the, you know, don't.
Trademark pending.
Yeah.
TM.
Okay. So I've got another example here. The flames that I did in your peaker sticker, Joel.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the fuck off one. Yeah.
Fuck.
So it wasn't a Clip Studio thing. It was like a live teaching for an art group that I'm in on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh.
They were like, this is how you use the finger smudge tool.
Cool.
And this is kind of how like it interacts with everything. And I was like, huh.
Well, ain't that some shit?
That can make fire.
Why can't you use this to make fire?
I spent 2 hours doing it, but by God, it looked like fire.
And now you have a new fire technique.
And now I have a new fire technique.
And it also sounds like that's something that they figured out by accident.
Yeah.
Well, this is true, something I wrote down on my notes, and I forgot to tell you guys on our break. But like workshops, that is something that is very weird in our hobby, and I'm approaching this with, we've actually, all of us have taught a beginner's workshop at our Hangar 18, but also I've been attending a lot of painting workshops in the toy world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned so much from there, because I went in with the subjective thought of like, there's no right or wrong, this is just people telling their experience.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of workshops that we see from modelers or painters or whatever the craft is, where they are teaching it with the mindset of, this is the way it should be done.
Yeah.
Versus a more artistic standpoint of like, here's how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I'm on Twitch and someone's like, hey, how do you do the texture? I explain my way, and I say, I learned from so-and-so's video, this one article, and some Star Wars behind the scenes thing. That's what I hodgepodge together. My way is not the right way, because there's no right way. But I'm just going to tell you, because it's not a fucking secret. It's not like a new technique or some shit.
I'll tell you what, man. Anytime you hear that, someone starting off saying this is how it's done.
Yeah, this is how you must do
it. Ask for your money back or something.
Yeah, just get out of there.
Close that window because...
We're very careful when we teach workshops to always say... This is the objective. We're going to focus on the objective. We're not going to focus on how to achieve the objective. We're going to show you one way to potentially achieve the objective. In fact, when Bailey and I taught a scribing workshop, we taught two different techniques to achieve the same goal, specifically because there is no right way.
Everyone's wired different and shit, you know?
And I mean, how can we claim to know the way when I can tell you every single time I sit down to do some scribing, I figure out something that I don't want to do again.
What goofed on that one? Well,
you
here
know,
we
it's
are.
It's like, okay, this is, I'm going to do it a different way this time. Next time, you know, it's like, how, you know, like I said, you hear that from somebody that's Casey. I tell my son this, anybody that claims to know it all, oh my gosh, don't listen to them.
Yeah, for real. If someone tries to tell you the right way to do your hobby, and you don't think that sounds fun, that's not your hobby.
Or this is not the right person.
Yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying is your hobby is fun. What you get out of your hobby, it's your hobby. It's not the hobby. It's your hobby.
Yeah.
You do this the way that you like to do it.
Mm-hmm. No one owns scale modeling.
Yeah. No one owns the work.
You can't own the land, man.
You can't
hold me down, bro.
Yeah, you don't own pets. You can't own property.
You can't legally own land, man.
Look, Micromark, they better watch out because they can't own. Micromark can't own the chopper. They can't own the smell of the pages between. Actually, they probably do.
They could.
They might actually be.
Like, hold on now. Yeah. Let's see if they do.
We might have gone down a little. I might have gone a little bit too hard on that one. But what I'm saying is, make sure that your hobby is fun.
Yeah.
To use an old True Gunpla, I don't know who that is. Phrase. Enjoy your hobby for yourself and not for anyone else. Don't make somebody else happy. Make yourself happy. And if you want to try
a new
technique. Yeah, that's the subtext for that. Thank you, Bailey, for the spelling out the subtext, which just makes it not subtext. It's just regular text now, but that's really helpful.
Subway text.
But the best thing you can do, and we're going to end with this, I think, and then we'll do the outro, is that... Sorry, it's not called the chopper. It's called the chop it. I'm wrong.
What a
Bailey just
difference.
Held up. Bailey
Man.
Just held up the Micromark
catalog chop it.
In front of my face and showed me that it's in fact not called the chopper. It's called the chop it, which is a thing that Micromark owns. So
completely
here we are.
Different, right?
Yeah. Oh, what even is ownership? We'll have the next episode will be all about ownership. I don't even fucking know. Philosophically, can you own? I don't even. Okay.
Can anybody own anything?
Let's tighten it up. We get tight butthole.
What's
we can do
world?
This.
I think the takeaway is that. Not just enjoy the hobby for yourself, but also approach it with an open mind. Because you're doing don't take this as gospel, but you pick up a hobby to learn something new, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Try something different.
Some people do.
Have some fun with it.
Some people do, sure. And I mean you could be me who uses it as a leisure activity.
Yep.
You could be you could be approaching it as a football player and would it be the very best? Yeah!
That no one ever was.
No one ever was.
It's a catch.
But you really need to keep the mindset of that the things that you see and the things that you hear that people tell you, they're not the gospel. They're not the God-honest truth.
Yeah.
You can incorporate that into how you do your hobby. See what works for you. If it doesn't, then toss it away. Keep a notebook. Write all that stuff down, you know, and maybe you can go back to it later and try it again. As long as it works for you,
that's all that matters.
Yeah,
that's all
it.
That
that's
matters.
It. That's the key.
Doesn't matter what anyone else says or does or it should be this way, blah, blah, blah. Nobody, I've never heard anyone be excited to meet a rivet counter. And I
No, for real.
No one goes, oh, John's coming? Oh, he can count them like the rest of them.
Oh, thank God.
He
There's
blasts
finally,
those things.
Finally,
man.
Someone
get
that
to
knows.
The bottom of exactly how many, you know, panels this fucking ATAT is supposed to have.
Look, Bailey, you're wrong.
Fucking...
panel 3C on the Panzer 2B actually had 17 rivets, not 16. And I know that James will figure that out.
No, no, no. So everybody knows those rivets changed with every second of every scene.
The paint color is not quite right.
Every war.
Every war.
Every war. Were these wars on American soil?
What did you do in the war? There's
wars on carrier. There's wars on Endor.
Let's talk about you and Tino banging.
Weaponry. It was hard and fast and very efficient.
Where I was getting with that is no one looks forward to fucking meeting that dude. No one gets excited when they're meeting. They get excited when they hear Bailey's in the tool section going off about fucking Scribers again. Because everyone wants to know that they want to have that conversation. They want to know. Yeah, they want to put that extra thing in their fucking tool belt. And no one wants a stinky tool next to their good tool, right?
Yeah, that's the key.
I mean, hey, if you're into stinky tools, that's your own thing.
That's
but
that's
I try
got a couple different layers to it, my man.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's why I added that. If you're into it, you're into it.
That's fine. But if you got a tool, whether it's stinky or not, that you don't like, don't use it.
Don't put it in your fucking belt, dude. That's a tool. That's a spot you could be putting some useful shit into.
So that and I know that this is hard advice to take, but consider it this way. What we're telling you is do the hobby the way you want to do it. Don't take advice from anyone else. Don't let somebody else tell you what is good. That is very difficult. That is a difficult concept for...
It's a lot to filter.
It is.
And I would like to reiterate, it's something that I struggle with all the time, even though
same.
I know better.
Dude, I fucking terribly struggle with this shit to this day.
Your brain is so sneaky.
And, and I think that like the way that I get around that is that I beat my brain to death with the concept that
weed.
It helps, and you know four or five or six PBRs. But the real trick is that the hobby is yours. You own it. No one else owns your hobby.
You're the master of your own fucking destiny, dude. Wasn't there a Qui-Gon Jinn quote? Your determination. I don't remember.
The Qui-Gon Jinn quote was, I have a very specific set of skills.
No. It's the bit. I'm the best there is. I'm the best there is at what I do.
And what I do is very nice.
I'm coming for my daughter.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like your determination determines your reality or whatever it is.
Credits will be fine.
That's why. Anyways, you're in the driver's seat. You're not in the fucking back. So don't try and fucking, you know, just drive the fucking
You need 1,000 midichlorians.
Thank you. It was, you don't have enough midichlorians to join our Jedi Club. It's boys only, and you don't have enough midichlorians. I'm so sorry. Master Yoda will give you a gift bag on the way out.
You get a gift bag. Yeah. Oh, there's an iPhone in this gift bag.
Wow. Oh, it's just an iPod. Oh, God damn it.
It's like 15 years old.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the whole podcast.
Honestly, thank you for listening to this podcast.
Hope you enjoy it.
I want to hand this over to Tino to do the official sign out. But before we do, thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to join our Patreon Discord, join the Patreon
first.
It's
so good.
It's a real good Discord. We've got a great space over there. So join our Patreon at patreon.com/thecuttingmatpodcast or go to thecuttingmatpodcast.com and you can find us. Find our Patreon that way.
On the internet.
This man remembers everything.
Welcome to the interwebs. The interwebs is a place where... I'm Mr. DNA.
I'm Mr. Tino, get us out of here, dog.
Please, we're back. Please we're back.
We're back. Yeah, we're back in person.
We're back in person, baby.
Bunch of bullshit.
All right.
Bailey is open mouth kissing a Micromark catalog. What is happening?
Okay, everybody. Thank you once again for listening to this episode of the Cutting Mat Podcast. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned something. We all hope you learned something. Maybe take what you hear to heart.
Yeah,
take a lesson from it. You don't have to take all the lessons if they don't work for you, because this is just from our experiences. Anyway, thanks again for listening. I'm Tino, Big V Roman. I'll be in it. This one's Joel.
I'm Joel. I'm here. True Gumpla at True Gumpla. You can go to truegumpla.com and have all the links to all the different interweb machines that I've installed with my name on them. I pay for the parking spaces. Go away. Brandon is to my left.
I'm Brandon.
Don't go away. Stay here.
I'm Brandon. I'm not going anywhere, but I will go somewhere whenever we finish recording. But my name is Brandon, and I am Brandon. What was I supposed to do?
Your thing.
That's right.
Your government username.
My name is Brandon, and I am addicted to plastic models.
No, that's after the podcast.
Oh, right. Yes, that's. Sorry,
you're not supposed to know about that.
I do. I do mecha genre on Instagram at mechagenre, mechagenre.com, and also all of the Cutting Mat podcast episodes are available on mechagenre.com. So if you'd like to listen to them and you don't want to go to the cuttingmatpodcast.com, that's real weird, and maybe you should try them both. And fuck to it. My left, we got a guy named Bailey. He's the only guy that I will take hobby advice as gospel from.
Just null and void well, the whole entire way. Episode.
Okay, he's the only guy that I actually no, will I'm take hobby you. Advice as I'm gospel there with from.
You. That's the real. That's the real.
I'm not buying a tool.
Why MMV? Your mileage may vary, but he's the guy. He's the second coming of
Jesus. Of Jesus?
A bridge too far. Anyway, I'm Bailey, like Brandon's pontificating.
He's a deity from the upper
at
plains.
Kamau underscore Zeta. I can't match up to that. That's why I haven't posted anything recently.
He owns
a pedestal right there.
He owns his own planet. I have seen it.
It's a great planet.
His spirit came from a volcano.
Check out my post and stay tuned, people. Stay tuned because we're back in it, boys.
We're back in
it.
Here
we go. This
we
is
got
it.
Bonus episodes. We got fucking Premonition of Paint. We have, I don't know, we might have some video content. Mm-hmm. We got new shit, shirts, pins.
Oh, can I plug,
Tino's guys hands up.
Quick? Let's get it.
Can I plug myself real quick?
Duh.
And anybody in and around the Raleigh area, North Carolina area, I'm not entirely sure when this episode is coming out, but GalaxyCon Raleigh is at the end of July.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be tabling there, and so will Joel and Holy Mountain Printing. So if you're going to be there, come swing by our booths.
We'll be
fucking around.
We'll have Cutting Mat stuff.
That's the thing.
That's the podcast we're doing? Cutting Mat?
No. I mean, the Cutting Mat stuff. That's what you want to do. You want to go? No, I'm saying you want to go there to get the Cutting Mat stuff. No, the Tech Deck podcast is next.
The Tony Hawk tips and tricks.
Tony Hawk, if you are hearing this right Tony now, Hawk. Please, happy birthday. Sorry, we're a bit late. Also, please contact us. It's very important. Also, if you're listening to this, also, we are back. Please, prepare your earballs for more content.
Yeah, brush up on some old ones. Go back and listen.
Go back and give us
also, it sounds dumb, and I hate asking for this, but reviews on iTunes are a thing.
Yeah.
So if you don't have to, but if you get 5 seconds,
review, smack
throw a
that
five
bell.
Star on
five
there,
five star no less,
hit five like star button. No less
I
for
heard
sure.
You can do it every day.
Oh my, wait, really?
Subscribe.
I heard. I don't think it matters.
Follow us online.
Yeah, really? You can OnlyFans.
I need to change the way I've been doing that.
So we got OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
We have a lot of listeners that have OnlyFans. You should go check them out.
I can't do OnlyFans because they're getting rid of their adult content.
Oh.
Wait, what? That's like their whole thing.
Wait, hang on.
Is it, like,
is it just toy reviews now?
This might be a separate podcast also.
Okay, good night.